Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird.
Martin, turn the sound on. I think the declaration's coming.
I, the returning officer for the said constituency of Tainforth North, do hereby give notice that the total number of votes given for each candidate in this election is as follows.
He's wearing a wig.
Shh, Martin.
James de Vere de la Mer du Maurier Robiliard Smythe, Socialist Workers' Party. 122. Ted Anderson, Yogic Flying Road Hauliers Party, 55. John Arthur Ellis, Labour Party, 4,128.
What's it ought to be about 20,000?
Harry Smith, Conservative Party, 4,203.
Oh, good grief. All right, that's enough. Turn it off. Martin, Labour has just lost one of its safest seats.
How interesting.
Do I have to explain to you the significance of that?
You don't have to, Charles, no. Mind you, it might relieve the tedium if the explanation involved pulling your trousers down and doing your impression of a swingometer.
We cannot afford to have Labour losing elections. This agency depends on Labour for the bulk of its profits.
Perfectly true, although I do have to confess to a sense of overwhelming indifference.
My masters at Downing Street are not happy, Charles.
You amaze me.
I mean, what is the matter with these people? The economy's going well. We're pumping money into public services.
So, the message is, vote Labour, you ungrateful swine. Well, it'll make an eye-catching poster, won't it?
Hello!
Who's that?
That's the editor of Hello. I met her at a party at number 10.
You don't think that's part of the trouble, do you? Celebrity parties at number 10. How does that kind of thing go down in Plymouth and Sunderland, huh? And Tainford North?
Darling, OK. That's the editor of OK. Sorry, Charles, what were you saying?
Your famous focus groups, aren't they saying something about you being middle class and out of touch?
Middle class and out of touch, what nonsense.
Would you like to order?
The salad of feta cheese and the pre-lentil risotto.
Well, it's what people are saying, Archie. Labour are a pretentious, posy, metropolitan elite. The Nantucket lobster cake with butternut squash, swordfish and chorizo salad and the pre-lentil risotto as well for me, thank you. It doesn't do to be middle class and out of touch, you know.
You know the real worry? It's the turnout. There's no sign of a swing to the Conservatives.
Yeah, well, it would be astonishing if there were.
People just aren't voting at all.
You know, I remember when I was a student, I once had to write an essay. Now, what was it? Oh, yes. Do you agree that boredom is the most potent force in history?
What, do you think people are bored with us? We've only been here 4 years.
Yes, but it seems longer.
You know our real problem? It's our own party activists. They're the ones who are really bored. They just can't get enthusiastic enough to get out there and sell the message, motivate people to vote.
The kind of people who care about social justice.
Exactly.
And fox hunting.
Quite.
Well, we'll have to see what Prentice McCabe can do.
Are you all right, Mr. McCabe?
Yeah, why shouldn't I be all right?
It's only that I've been tidying up.
Oh, the human hoover strikes again.
I found a box file behind your desk marked Action Against Alcohol Excess. And there was a bottle of sherry in it.
Well, there's a perfectly reasonable explanation. These action people are a charity. They want us to take them on, you know, handle their PR. By the time I listened to them for half an hour, I was so bored I needed several stiff ones.
The bill from the off-licence has been going up a bit recently. I've noticed that.
Sandy, don't start getting maternal. I don't like people who cluck and fuss.
You wouldn't want to try saying that after a few drinks, would you?
Ah, Martin, old chap. Sandy, how are you?
Mr. Prentice, can I ask you something? Have you finished the annual salary review?
The annual salary review? Good Lord, is it that time again?
Last year's annual salary review.
Ah, that one. Well, a salary review is a very complex, multifaceted exercise. Actually, Martin, didn't I put that on your desk some time ago?
I don't think so, Charles.
Well, what's in this pile, for example?
Oh, no, that's the high-rise building of bureaucratic baloney. It's not in there.
This one?
The garden shed of garbage from the government.
Fine. This one?
The patio of piffle. Next to the fishpond of fatuous faxes.
Well, I'll see that it's sorted out, Sandy. If you'll excuse us, I need a word with my colleague. Perhaps you'd like to open the afternoon post before Martin uses it to build the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
OK.
Martin, old chap. Are you all right?
Why do people keep asking me if I'm all right?
Well, several reasons, one of which is this. Do you happen to remember writing... D Dear Sirs, the reason I have not replied to your letters of the 26th and the 30th is that I couldn't be asked. Yours in sport, Martin.
Well, I may possibly have done. Why?
Well, because you emailed it to the Inland Revenue. You have written back in distressed tones. Don't worry, I'll sort it out. Perhaps it would do you good to get out of the office for a while,
oh,
Martin.
Oh, yes, a sherry at the club, now you're talking.
Oh, Lord, do we have to go to your wretched club? Mm,
it's so restful, Charles.
Do you know, I had lunch at one of the hottest new bars in London, a place so hot it was cool, a place where it girls go to get hypothermia in their hot pants.
How perfectly ghastly.
A place where people go to be seen, people who wouldn't be found dead in here. Mind you, I suppose that would set them apart from most of the members.
This club doesn't bow to every trifling shift in fashion, Charles. It's stood for centuries. Steak and kidney pie has been on the Antiques Roadshow, and that's how some of us like it.
Yes, you don't feel it needs modernising.
Most of the members here are as thick as the club gravy and just as difficult to shift. If some modernising Labour type came in here, he'd get debagged and fed to the club cat, Baldwin.
The thing is, Martin, we are employed by Labour. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel that people are bored by the Labour government? Do you feel somehow that they're getting their message across in a way that enthuses and motivates?
Frankly, no.
Well, that's where we come in. I have a commission for you that I know will be dear to your heart. I want you to organise a series of lunches.
Oh, well, I think I can manage that.
For groups of Labour activists.
Oh, hell.
Series of lunches.
The point is this, Archie. Ever since you came to power, you've been holding these celebrity bashes. You know, £500 a go, dinner and shake hands with the Prime Minister.
And a very useful source of fundraising it's been. Plus, it gives the PM a chance to rub shoulders with captains of industry, city bigwigs.
Ah, but are they the ones who deliver your leaflets, knock on doors, remind people that there's an election on?
Well, no. They're movers and shakers.
And that is exactly your problem. You're obsessed with movers and shakers. Do any of your ordinary party activists turn up to these orgies?
Certainly not. We don't want our activists anywhere near captains of industry. Why do you think we price these events at £500 a throw? To make sure there are no proles. Pity's sake, we don't even let them come to our conference nowadays.
And these are the people on whom you depend to win the next election.
Well, yes, I suppose so.
You need to schmooze, to say thank you, to hold a series of lunches for your activists. They can let their hair down, have a decent meal and meet the Prime Minister.
No, not the Prime Minister.
No?
Charles, well, let me put it this way. The Prime Minister doesn't like the Labour Party. In fact, he can't stand it.
But he's the leader of it.
Technically, yes. But in an ideal world, the PM wouldn't go anywhere near the Labour Party from one year to the next. You can have the Deputy Prime Minister.
But I don't want him.
Oh, well, look, I'll find you a senior minister. What about Mo?
No.
Oh.
Well, look, find someone and leave all the arrangements to Prentice McCabe.
Charles, I really don't feel like it.
But, Martin, it's right up your street. I'm not asking you to cook the lunch. I'm asking you to design the menu. You'll do it so much better than I will. What we want is a plain, simple menu for plain, simple Labour activists. Cheap and cheerful. It'll only take you about 10 minutes.
Well, you do it, then.
I've got all the arrangements to see to. Anyway, you know how you're always criticising my culinary tastes. Pretentious rubbish, that's the phrase, isn't it? I shall never forget that night I took you to Gordon Ramsay's. What was it you said? If that bow-tied ponce serves me the squid ink, I will put it in a squid pen and write squid bollocks.
Well, just because my tastes are simple.
Which is exactly what we want. A bowl of soup, a few crisps, and then the bovine spongiform and chips. Martin, why are you putting your coat on?
Because I'm going out, Charles.
But there's work to be done.
Well, I'll attend to it when I get back.
Is this a new client?
No, he's not a client.
You're being very secretive.
Charles, I am simply going out for a while. Shan't be long. Sorry, Sandy.
That's okay. This fax has just come.
Ah, from Archie. I've managed to get you the Under Secretary of State at DTI. Oh, for heaven's sake.
My job as a counsellor is just to listen, and if I can, to give you a bit of advice. But don't worry, Mr. McCabe. A lot of men at your time of life feel that they've lost their zest.
Well, I wouldn't say that exactly. I never had much zest in the first place. I'm a bit of a zest-free zone, really.
So So what exactly is the problem?
Well, put it this way. A year or two ago, my partner and I set up a business, government media relations. And to start with, it was a disaster. We were broke, debt collectors everywhere, but it was a hell of a lot of fun.
You were poor, but you were honest.
No, we were a pair of lying, twisting charlatans. It was wonderful.
So what's gone wrong?
Well, we've become successful, appallingly successful.
You're making money.
Pots of it. People beg us to take their accounts. We're fashionable. All of a sudden, I want to scream. Let me put it this way. Have you ever been somewhere stiflingly, suffocatingly genteel, a Kensington Tea Party or a Liberal Democrat conference, and you feel an almost irresistible urge to do something very rude? You think any minute now I'm going to pull my trousers down and sing rugby songs.
You're bored.
Yes.
You're frustrated.
Exactly.
You feel trapped.
That's just how I feel. So, what's your advice?
I wish I knew.
You're supposed to counsel me.
I know. 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, I listen to fat, overpaid, middle-aged men whinging on. Do you have any idea how trapped and frustrated I feel? I mean, for pity's sake, stop moaning and get a grip. You're pathetic. You're feeble. I've seen more get-up-and-go than an elderly cat. Why don't you just go away, you boring, overpaid pillock? You wouldn't have time for a midlife crisis if you were doing night shifts in a biscuit factory. Oh, get out of my life, you miserable slug.
Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you. Same time next week.
Mr. Prentice, can you make sure the restaurant has the menu by this afternoon?
Oh, I think we can manage that. You know, Sandy, I feel somehow curiously liberated.
I'm glad somebody does.
Oh, what's the problem?
Mr. Prentice says I've got to help at this Labour Party lunch. It's not my job, is it? Being some sort of cocktail waitress, hat check girl and all-purpose mignon.
No, well, the lunch isn't exactly my idea of fun either, Sandy. Still, there we are. You must at all times be professional.
I suppose so.
We must on no account pull our trousers down and sing rugby songs.
No.
We must do nothing that would damage the prestige of Prentice McKeeb.
I've been in the Labour Party 40 years.
Awfully well done.
And I know what goes on.
Well, that's straining credibility a trifle, but I'll let it pass.
I was knocking on doors when Harold Wilson was leader.
Ah, yes, a great Prime Minister.
He was a lying, twisting, devious swine.
Yes, such an inspiration to us all.
Can I join you?
Well, actually, I've just got to go. Archie!
Having fun, Charles?
Oh, I'm having so much fun I may spontaneously orgasm at any moment.
Charles, can I borrow you for a moment?
Aren't you something to do in number 10?
Well, I might be.
When are we getting this law on fox hunting, then? The one you keep promising?
The Prime Minister is listening to your concerns.
Oh, where is he? Under the table?
Well, he's not actually here, but he is listening to your concerns. Charles, a word. Now do you see why the PM wouldn't touch this with a barge pole?
I think I began to see that when a young man came up to me and gave me a lecture on the welfare state in Finland for 3/4 of an hour.
They're so desperately keen.
Well, that is the general idea, of course.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, they seem to be enjoying themselves. This was a good move on your part, Charles.
But it would be fun if only they weren't so desperately earnest. Ah, here comes the radical alternative to the work ethic.
Hello, Charles. I think everything's all set in the kitchen, Archie.
What gastronomic delights have you organised for us, Martin?
Well, I delegated much of the detail to Sandy.
You amaze me. Sandy, you look ravishing.
Thank you. Well, it had to be the red dress, really.
Shall I do the honours? Ladies and gentlemen, may I welcome you on behalf of the party leadership. Now, as the hard-working foot soldiers of the Labour movement, I'm sure you're all used to being treated like sheep.
Yes. Right.
And you'll know that the leadership has a habit of, if you'll pardon the expression, taking the pee. So, if you'd like to make your way to the dining room, we'll begin lunch with a consommé of sheep's urine.
May I take your soup plate, madam?
Thank you.
I must say, it was remarkably droll of you, Martin. Well, what actually was in the soup?
Sheep's urine.
Come on, Martin, what was it really?
It was the pecan potage of piddle.
You will have your fun, won't you?
I certainly hope so. Ah, splendid.
Is this safe for vegetarians?
Not as such, no. It was Sandy's suggestion, actually. It's fox casserole.
It's what?
It's got tomatoes, onions and garlic, a little bit of sage and a big bit of fox.
Oh, Let me see. Definitions of gross misconduct.
Charles, you can't sack young Sandy.
Oh, you think that attempting to poison our most important client merits a gentle pat on the wrist, do you? Let this be a lesson to you, Martin. Do not delegate the important things in life to your subordinates. The publicity this event has prompted may very well destroy Prentice McCabe. The pictures of the foot soldiers of the movement being sick on their membership cards.
Yes. It did make a splash, didn't it?
An employee may be sacked for being so drunk as to be incapable of performing their duties.
Sandy wasn't drunk.
It might be a mitigating factor if she had been. Now, grounds for dismissal. Theft of office equipment. Using office equipment to photocopy your bottom.
I don't think Sandy's done that.
Industrial sabotage. Jeopardising the interests of the company with deliberate malice. Aha! Bang to rights, I think.
Charles, we're not really going to go with this, are we?
Now, what do you suggest? Promotion? A pay rise? No. Martin, at 2 o'clock this afternoon, there will be a formal disciplinary interview leading to the termination of Sandy's employment. In the meantime, I will endeavour to mend bridges.
No, Charles, I appreciate it wasn't your fault, but after what has happened...
A minor hiccup in a long and successful relationship.
I would scarcely describe the results as a minor hiccup.
The employee responsible will be dismissed.
And Martin? Martin, who attempted to lead a group of ultra-PC Labour members in singing rugby songs.
It wasn't exactly diplomatic genius, I grant you, but to throw everything away, it's like tearing down a house because there's one fruit bat in the loft.
No, Charles. I'm afraid this is a termination interview.
I'm sure Martin will be joining us shortly. I think perhaps we ought to start.
Okay.
As you know, this is a formal disciplinary interview to consider a charge of gross misconduct arising from an incident in this office on the 16th of this month. Specifically, you are charged with what employment law describes as industrial sabotage.
Poisoning the clients?
Quite.
Look, if you want me to go, I'll go. There's no need for all this.
In this company, we are going to do things properly. Now... Obviously, this is a most regrettable and a most serious matter. Martin, where the hell have you been? What's that?
It's a cake.
This is a disciplinary interview.
Yes, but you may as well be comfortable.
It is not customary to serve cake at a disciplinary interview. This is a quasi-judicial procedure. A judge doesn't say to a defendant, 7 years and a slice of chocolate sponge.
And I've brought you some flowers, Sandy.
Oh, thank you.
If we might get on, it is the duty of this interview to reach a verdict.
Guilty.
What?
I am guilty. I have no hesitation in dismissing myself. I shall never again darken my own portals.
Martin, we are here to deal with Sandy.
Quite right, too. The fox casserole may have been my idea.
Your idea? What did you say?
But the fact remains that you were a willing accomplice. You know, it's not so easy to say willing accomplice when you're as pissed as I am. Sandy, this disciplinary interview, and it's not easy to say that either, has no hesitation in awarding you a final written photocopy of my bottom.
Shall I make some coffee?
No, I don't think it will stand up in front of an industrial tribunal. A disciplinary interview at which a senior partner showed up drunk as a skunk and sacked himself. Does somewhat lack conviction. Hello, Janet, darling. Tara, how are you?
Did we have to come to this appalling place?
This is where the action is.
I want to be where the action isn't. Do you know what I feel like doing? I feel like growing a beard, not washing for 3 weeks, and living in a tree.
But look around you. The nerve centre, the cutting edge. Here a street porter talks to a peer of the realm. Here a pop star, there a politician, a high financier talks to a low footballer.
This is our world. No, Charles, this is your world. Bimbos and boy bands, baubles, bangles and bees, posers and pillocks, endlessly racing around crying, notice me, notice me. God, I hate it.
Yes, you really do, don't you? Martin, once and for all, what is the matter with you?
The same wretched thing that's the matter with everybody. You know, I open the papers every morning, it's the same damn thing. Low inflation, low unemployment, sustained economic growth, and isn't everything wonderful, and there's going to be an election. Weeks and weeks of it. And three parties led by nice young men. Oh, such nice young men. They're all happily married to nice young wives, and there's going to be an election, and why don't they all just go to hell?
Yes. Apart from that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the show?
Morning, Sandy.
When are you taking this holiday, then?
I'm on the way to Heathrow now. Just popped in to pick up a few things.
Morning, Thanks, Andy. Martin, aren't you supposed to be off to the Caribbean?
Just going. Now, you're sure you'll be all right, Charles?
I am perfectly capable of running Prentice McCabe on my own.
Yes, yes, of course you are.
Well, bon voyage, Martin.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Martin?
Yes?
You're still here.
Oh, just taking a last look at the old place, like Martina Navratilova snatching a memento of Centre Court.
The resemblance between you and Martina Navratilova is not obvious, to be honest. Anyway, you're coming back.
Who knows? Well, goodbye, Sandy.
Have a good holiday.
Charles, dear, dear friend.
Have a great time and leave those fruit bats in the Caribbean.
Goodbye, Papa. It's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky.
Martin, that is a door. Go through it. Thank you, Sandy. An excellent day's work.
Thank you.
So, who says I can't run Prentice McCabe on my own?
This letter came by second post.
I am disappointed. Your work is not up to its usual standard. We are removing our account from Prentice McCabe. What?
It's one of Mr. McCabe's accounts. You've been dealing with it whilst he was away.
But of all the nerve!
Oh, and this one.
Your work lacks its usual panache, and I feel it may be time for our company to make a change.
It's one of Mr. McCabe's accounts.
Yes, yes.
Do you think Mr. McCabe will ever come back? I mean, I know he went a bit funny.
That's a reasonable diagnosis when a man puts on a sailor's hat and sings Seasons in the Sun, yes.
But don't you think that you need him, really?
Sandy, this agency runs perfectly well without Martin McCabe.
Well, yeah, if you say so.
Ah, you see? A client beating a path to my door.
Actually, I think that's Mr. McCabe's pager.
Mr. McCabe's pager? Don't be ridiculous. Martin's pager hasn't rung in years.
Yeah, it is. It's this one.
Martin, come at once. Archie.
You see, the thing is, Charles, I know I said Prentice McCabe were fired.
Yes, yes, you did, didn't you?
But Downing Street is very concerned. An opinion poll was published yesterday. Only 50% of people said they were certain to vote. And it's our voters who are staying at home. People seem to be bored with this election before it's even started.
Naturally, you've sent for me. Well, I'm not sure I can fit you in. And it will mean a substantial increase in the fee, of course.
Well, as it happens, Charles, I didn't send for you. I sent for Martin.
Yes, but that was obviously a mistake.
No, 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 no. It wasn't a mistake. You see, the thing is, Charles, you're a bit London. A bit Groucho Club, a bit lovies and media groupies. You're everything we're trying to get away from.
You really know how to hurt a guy, don't you?
What we need is some way of getting our voters interested in this election. This is one for Martin. Martin's got his finger on the pulse.
Only to make sure he's still alive.
Charles! Get me Martin.
He's in the Caribbean.
Get him back. That's an order.
Martin, I did not get you back to sit there saying I told you so.
Of course not. Mind you, I did.
Ideas.
Charles, do you remember a children's song about the three billy goats Gruff?
Oh, go back to the Caribbean. Either you're still suffering from chronic fatigue syndrome or you're as chronically fatigued as a newt.
Charles, hear me out. Now, if memory serves, the three billy goats Gruff were in the habit of hopping and skipping and hopping and skipping over the rickety bridge.
It's so desperately sad. A once superb brain, a first-rate mind, babbling and drivelling as the white goats flap in the wind.
Charles, listen. Now, thanks to the millennium, London has its very own rickety bridge.
And you are proposing to transform the mood of a nation with government-sponsored goat racing. It's tragic.
Now, we need something to cheer everybody up, make them take enough interest in the world to vote in the election. What we do is this.
No, 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 no.
Archie, this wheeze is a work of genius, much as I hate to admit it.
Let me get this straight. You're proposing a televised debate between the three party leaders live from the rickety bridge.
Exactly.
And every half hour, viewers are allowed to ring in and nominate one of them.
Precisely. We thought of calling it In the Swim with the British People.
Yeah. That'll be a perfectly competent rescue launch.
Mind you, we will have to dangle the faint possibility of a tragic drowning in the interests of ratings.
But you're proposing to let real voters, ordinary people, determine the outcome. It's a terrifying idea.
Archie, Archie, this is Prentice McCabe. You don't think we'd embark on something like this without pre-arranging the outcome?
Telephone polls are notoriously difficult to predict.
And notoriously easy to fix.
Ah.
Quite.
There are still people out there in those rural communities who can't stand the Prime Minister, you know.
And sadly, they won't be able to get through.
There is another advantage, of course. Now, normally politicians sit in a studio and conduct a solemn, serious, bum-aching debate about the issues. And everybody turns off. Now, when they're all stood on a bridge in a force 10 gale, nobody will hear a damn word they're saying.
It'd be like the storm scene from King Lear. In fact, they might as well be reciting King Lear.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, this is brilliant.
Yes.
Oh, I can't help rerunning that video. You would think a man who could drink 14 pints would be able to swim, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Did they find the leader of the Liberal Democrats?
Somewhere near Chiswick, apparently. I don't know if it's an omen for his party, but he came third in the boat race. look at this here. Congratulations as usual, Archie. Your fee seems rather steep, but under the circumstances, blah, blah, blah. Well done, Martin.
So we're hired again.
And we seem to have secured the biggest audience in television history.
Well, I suppose I could just go back to the Caribbean and stay there.
Martin. Martin, I do not find it easy to say this, but I need you.
Charles, that is what is meant by an enduring friendship.
How very much I look forward to many more years of enduring your friendship.
You have been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird, with Tony Gardner, Siobhan Hayes, Beth Chalmers, Sue Elliott Nichols, Terence Edmund and Kenny Blythe. The music was by Matthew Scott. The executive producer was Paul Schlesinger. The producer was Dawn Ellis.